Welcome to the AquariumMax audio show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 64, recorded May 30th, 2011.
Okay, welcome everyone.
Hello!
We have a lot of contributors today. Once again, we are very glad.
It's great!
Yes, it's very awesome. So thank you for doing that. Please do not hesitate to contribute and to continue to contribute. That's what makes the show. So, thanks again. And let's get on with it, shall we?
We're going to start off with our Jackson in Australia, our little 13-year-old friend. We had asked him a little bit more about his tanks. And he wrote us back. He says he has three tanks, and he has questions about his pearl grammies. One of them is becoming aggressive towards the one that he thinks is a female and chasing her around a lot, and he wants to know, is there a simple way to distinguish the sexes, and is there anything that he could or should be doing for them?
Okay. Well, we did respond to Jackson in an email, and the easy answer to the question is, well, the sex of pearl grammies can be distinguished. Now, some of you might say grammies, some of you might say grammies. Whatever. I think both of them are quite acceptable, but let's go on. Distinguishing the sex is easy in that first the finnage gives you a clue. The males have more elongated, pointy dorsal and anal fins at the rear part of the fin. So, they're longer and pointier than those of the female, and the rays themselves stick out beyond the actual webbing in the fins a little bit more than they do in the females. Okay, the next is coloration. When the male is ready to breed, especially, from about his mouth area down to the anal fin, or the belly area you could call it, or the ventral surface, that area is much more orangey-red in the male than it is in the female. So, Jackson, check that out and see if that makes a difference, if that helps you distinguish between the two.
No, he did. We asked him a little bit more about the situation in his tank, and he gave us a little bit more information on that. So let's go over what he told us before we tell you what else we told him about the fish. He's only got the two grammies. He has some driftwood, some plants, and some lantern-type decoration things. He doesn't think that the chasing fish is hurting the other fish, and that the other one actually kind of seems to enjoy trying to get away. So that helps a little bit, but Russ is going to tell us some things to watch out for.
Okay. Well, to determine whether or not the fish is getting stressed out by this other fish, and these are some questions that I asked Jackson in the email, is the aggressive fish actually damaging the other fish or preventing it from resting or from eating, or is it just chasing it around quite a bit? Some danger signs to watch for, if, of course, you see damage to the scales or the fins of the fish, that could be a serious problem. If you see that the fish doesn't really get a chance to sit still or eat, if, you know, like I mentioned before, that could be a real problem. But a telltale sign is if you see the fish in a corner of at the surface of the tank, especially with its face towards the outer side of the tank, its head up, its tail down towards the inner interior of the tank, that is a really bad sign. Kind of means the fish has given up to an extent trying to be out in the rest of the tank because it's being harassed too much. And so this is a very submissive situation, and the fish is basically surrendering.
It's trying to get as far away from the other fish as possible.
Right. And if that is going on, then you have a serious issue and you need to remove one or the other or both of the fish from that tank, because they're a fish in that sort of stressful situation is not likely to survive very long if it remains in that situation. So that's how serious it would be. But as long as you're not getting any of those danger signs, you should be okay. And just keep your eye on things, and it sounds like you have an interesting situation coming up. Maybe you'll get some spawning.
That would be fun. Oh, he had a little note, too, when we were talking about glass fish on his glass shrimps in his original question. He had gone fishing and found a little shallow rock pool, and there's some young trout and some glass shrimps, and he caught one, Says, I caught one and rode back to where we were staying and realized it looked somewhat pregnant. It had a larger belly and some black dots on its belly, so I let it go. But it was quite cool to find some glass shrimp. And he says, thanks for your help.
Right. And in this situation, when you have a shrimp that is carrying eggs, after it lays the eggs, it actually carries them under its body. The female carries them with structures called swimmerets, which are kind of leggy, fin-like structures. But once they have laid the eggs, they will carry them around until they're ready to either be released as larvae or be released as miniature shrimp, basically, that are similar to the adults, in depending on the species. But this state of carrying them is not really gravid, because gravid is usually what you refer to as a female who is carrying unfertilized eggs. It's not exactly pregnant, although it's closer to pregnant, because she's actually laid the eggs. Generally, for shrimp in this state, we have a specialized term. We call them berried, B-E-R-R-I-E-D, because it looks like there are a bunch of berries there. The little shrimp eggs are berries, or resemble berries. Or sometimes we say that the female is in berry. So you found a buried shrimp. That's cool.
It's pirate treasure.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. We have a question from Stuart. He says, I'm catching up whilst at work. Okay, I have to say, I think it's cool that you use the word whilst. I'm catching up whilst at work. That's a cool word. And he says, episode 61 got cut off short. So we went and checked that out on the website, and indeed it does get cut off about a minute and 15 seconds before the actual end of the recording.
So thank you for pointing that out.
Yes, we're not quite sure why the whole thing didn't post on the website, but we will take it down and put it up again, and you can get the last minute and 15 seconds. You can listen to our groovy theme music at the end.
whatever bizarre comments we happen to make near the end.
Yes.
Luckily, it was only a minute and 15 seconds.
It wasn't too much.
But it's strange that that should happen, because we went back and listened to the original file that we uploaded, and that one is intact. Nothing's missing.
So
but on the website, it's gone.
Somewhere in cyberspace, there's a minute and 15 seconds of Aquarimax episode 61 floating around looking for its home.
Yeah. Oh, and Stuart also mentioned that the new microphone is clear, but it sounds like we're a distance from it, and there's no natural bass tones to either of your voices, just some fish food for thought. I liked that turn of phrase, just some fish food for thought. And thank you also for the feedback on the microphone. And as you know by now, we have switched back to the
old microphone. The original microphone.
The cheaper one that sounds better, so there you go. Thank you for mentioning that, and thank you to all of you who mention things about the microphone, because we just want to make the show easier to listen to and more fun. So by giving us that feedback, you've helped that to be possible. And let's
see. Now, Stuart also had a suggestion for the 5-gallon tank, but we're going to get to that a little bit later. There's another suggestion for that, so we're going to go over both of those suggestions along with what Russ actually decided to do a little bit later in the show.
Right.
And our next message was from David. He sent us an email.
Okay, and I think David is a new contributor.
I think so.
Pretty sure.
So welcome. It says, I subscribed to your podcast, but was only able to get episodes numbers 49 through 63. I'd love to be able to listen to all of them. Is there a way to download all of your podcasts from the first one to the latest?
Well, I'm glad to be able to answer this question easily and simply. Yes, there is.
Woo-hoo!
I don't know how to do it through iTunes, and I don't think it's possible.
We haven't found a way to do it through iTunes. Apparently, iTunes likes to just keep the more recent episodes up.
Yeah, and I guess I can understand that, and they have limited space and whatnot. But the way to do it is to go to our website, aquarimax.com, and up at the top, you'll see several menu items. One of them is podcast. If you click there, you'll see the more recent podcasts as you scroll down the screen. And as you scroll down, it'll be something in the 40s. I think the last one you see on that screen is 49, I'm pretty sure.
Something around there.
Episode 49, something like that. But then at the bottom, very bottom of the screen, you'll see it says previous and next. And you go to next. Well, actually, on that screen, I don't think it says previous.
It just says next.
It just says next. You click on next, and you do it several times. And once you've done it three or four times, it goes back to the very beginning. Mm-hmm. The very origins of Aquarimax. our oldest episodes from back in, when was it, 2008 or something?
Something like that.
And 2009, I'm not sure, somewhere in there. Anyway, you can download them there, or you can listen to them on the website. Either way, they're available. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you really want to listen to the very first ones, because they're not very good, but, well, I hopefully they're not too bad, but...
They still have good information in them.
We hope that we've improved them since then. So we'll, you know, take a look at those. One thing I would like to ask, though, is if any of you listeners would like us to go back and do the first couple of episodes on culturing microworms and
kind of
so on, those vinegar eels and things.
Give them a little bit more flair.
Yeah, I don't know if you're interested in that or not, but if any of you would be interested in that, we might want to do that. So let us know what you think about that. And then we just replace those instead of releasing them as, like, episodes of 67.
Oh, but no, come on, it'd be like the extended director's cut version.
Yeah, something like that.
We can come up with all new special effects and, like, package it in a new fancy packaging, and you could have a boxed set.
A box set. There you go. If anybody wants a box set, we'll see. Okay. But, yeah, so hopefully that helps out and answers your question, and we'll go from there. Thank you, David, for joining us on Aquarimax.
Okay, next we are going to talk about a link that Brian shared with us. Why don't you tell us about that?
Okay. Brian sent us a link to a nano tank. We were talking about, you know, lately we've been talking about the subject of the desktop tank that I have at work. And he said this would be a nice one you might want to have on your desk. And I looked at it. It's a really cool setup. Basically, it is a nano saltwater tank, a reef tank, mainly for corals. And it's a long, skinny tank. It's about 3 feet long, but it's very small. It's just a few gallons, but it looks really nice, partly because the aquascaper of the tank took pieces of live rock and actually cut them so that they would look like larger pieces of rock, but on a smaller scale, and arranged them very carefully. So it looks really cool. And then put a bunch of coral fragments. If I know that many of you may be only freshwater listeners, freshwater aquarists, and some of you are saltwater, but if you're a freshwater aquarist and you're not aware of this, they're often called frags when you cut a small portion from a coral and with the intent of growing it somewhere else and either putting it in the same tank or some other tank. And so he took a bunch of coral frags and put them there and started growing them out, and they haven't grown out completely in the photo journal that he's put up there, but it looks like the tank will really look really, really nice. And so one thing I mentioned on Facebook, which is where Brian put this up, so you can check out our Facebook page and take a look at this from the link that Brian provided. I said, sometime I would like to do a nano setup with probably some green star polyps and some zoanthids and maybe some mushroom coral, some species that I've kept before in the past when I had a nano saltwater tank. I'd like to do that again and maybe just do only those species. And he said that he has green star polyps because the colony was the first coral he had ever bought, and now they've become a nuisance, and he'd get rid of them if they weren't the first one I bought. So I guess there's some nostalgia value there because they were the first ones. But these corals are pretty tenacious and pretty hardy, and in fact, in the older days of reef keeping, when coral keeping was kind of in its infancy, these corals, this is something I read in Aquarium Fish International, people would make them as kind of a lawn, just a big carpet of star polyps all along the bottom of the glass, not even on a sand bed, just straight on the glass, I guess. And they will cover it and make it look just like a solid wall of green along the bottom. And they wave in the currents and so on. So it looks kind of neat, but they're kind of invasive. They'll cover things up. So I guess I can understand Brian's sentiment that they could become a nuisance. And he also had another comment, too, didn't he?
Well, it was about the 5 gallon, so we're going to go back and talk about the 5 gallon now. Well, except for our break's coming up, so we will pause and then talk about Stuart and Brian's suggestions for the 5 gallon tank and what we have decided to do with it. So, you know, dramatic tension, dun-dun-dun. Stay tuned.
isn't a commercial, because it's not trying to sell you anything. It is, however, the part where we shamelessly encourage you to be a part of the Aquarimax audio show by calling and leaving a message any time of the day or night at 801-477-0629. If you don't want to actually talk, but you do have a comment or question, you can just send us an email to info@aquarimax.com. That wasn't so painful now, was it?
Okay, and we are back. So, Stuart had a suggestion for the 5-gallon tank. He says to go for dwarf puffers because they're great, super cute, and eat snails.
And we agree with all of those. They're an amazing fish. They have a lot of personality packed into a very small package.
Mm-hmm.
We did do an episode on them some time back. We have kept a number of dwarf puffers over the years, and they're a lot of fun. And I was sorely tempted, actually, to get a dwarf puffer probably mm-hmm. for this tank. But there was one reason why I didn't.
But don't tell us yet.
I won't tell you yet.
Okay, because I'm going to read Brian's. And then you can tell us all about it.
Okay.
Okay. So, Brian says, I have been able to give more thought to what I'd put in a 5-gallon freshwater desktop display. It's been snowing off and on for the last 3 days, and I've had some time to peruse fishy websites, which I have to say, we woke up this morning, May 30th, Memorial Day weekend, first 3-day weekend of the summer, and there's snow outside on the ground, and we felt grossly insulted.
By the weather.
Yes.
And interestingly enough, you had dreamt that it snowed.
I did, actually.
She woke up. Oh, that's terrible. And she said, oh, I had a dream that it snowed. And then we looked out the window.
And then Russ said, no, I'm sure it didn't. And then we got up and looked out the window. Like, oh! And it had actually snowed the exact amount that it had in my dream. So
there you go.
All I have to do is have a good dream and have that come true, huh? Okay, so anyways, back to Brian. He says, I think I'd have a small beta harem with a small school of rasboras or 3 or 4 sparkling gouramis.
And, oh, of course, betas are awesome, and beta harems or sororities, as they are also called, can
Which
be
really
cool.
We did have one, beta sorority.
We had one for a while, mm-hmm. And those are fun. One issue that we ended up having was that some of them were not males, even though that they were... not females, even though they were sold to us as females, so we had to end up taking some things out, and that
kind of messed up
sort
the
of
dynamic.
Messed up the dynamics of the tank a little bit. But
now,
you have to be very careful about that, especially with white ones, because it's difficult to distinguish the ovipositor sometimes. So, yeah.
And you and I talked about this before reading over the email here. How many betas could you really keep in a 5-gallon? Tank, because you have to have a certain amount of the female betas in there for them to get along. There has to be kind of a critical number for them to say, oh, it's just not worth fighting all these people over.
Right.
And it seems like, to me, that would be too many in a 5-gallon tank.
Well, this is the thing. There are a couple of issues here that are worth mentioning. One is that betas do have individual personalities, so you get some that are just really aggressive, even though they're females. You get some that are not particularly aggressive, even though they're females. I mean, that didn't make any sense, but you get some that they just vary widely in aggression. There's that. That's a factor. It could have something to do with the fact that female betas in the last 20 years or so, maybe. Just I'm throwing a figure out there, have been bred to resemble males more. You get females that are a lot more colorful than you used to. That's just a fact.
Now, that makes them more aggressive because the genes linked to aggressivity are also linked to color?
Well, some people think that, and I'm not going to quote any empirical studies because I don't know of any necessarily, but the idea is that the color in these females is brighter because the females have higher levels of testosterone in them. So they resemble males more, color-wise.
In behavior.
But also
ways
in behavior,
also.
Right.
Okay.
And so that may or may not be an issue, but you do get females that wear it very widely in terms of their levels of aggression that they have. Some people that I've read about have successfully maintained female groups of female betas as small as three. Two is generally frowned upon, not a good idea, because they've only got one target.
Right.
But if they have two targets, the aggression is diffused somewhat.
They have enough places to hide.
I think that's the minimum number that's recommended for a group of betas, to keep female betas together. But the larger the group, the less likely they are to bother each other. But they do need to have enough space to some extent, too. And then there's those who are in the camp of, I can keep, you know, I'm going to keep 10 betas in a 20-gallon tank, and then they will not fight because, well, they might have little skirmishes, but it's going to be so diffused among all 10 of them that, you know, it's not going to be a problem. Or even more, the more dense, like in a pet store, you can keep 30 or 40 betas in a 20-gallon tank in a pet store.
Female betas.
Female betas in a pet store without too much aggression because there are so many around.
It's just not worth fighting over.
Right, and kind of the idea with East African cichlids, Rift Lake cichlids like Mbunas, a lot of people do the same thing. They say, I'm going to overcrowd the tank on purpose because as long as I keep the water quality up, the fish will be healthy, but there are so many, they're not going to be, you know, they're going to diffuse aggression among them. So that can help. And another issue is if you get betas that have grown up together from babies, they're much less likely to be really aggressive with each other. So if you can manage to get...
They're not split up yet into the little cups in the pet store.
Right. If you get females that have grown up and they're still with each other, then they're much less likely to have big problems.
Now, in order to get betas that have been together and have not been separated since they were hatched, since they were born, would you have to just contact a breeder and tell them what you want to do? Could you talk to your pet store and say, don't... You know, tell me when you're getting them in and just don't split them up yet until I pick some, or...
That's a good question. Usually, I think the most dependable way to do it would be to contact a breeder. That's probably your best bet. Of course, you're not going to get as much variety in terms of color if you're getting betas from one group, generally, from one cohort that are all siblings. They're not likely to vary in terms of color nearly as much. And if that's part of your purpose, then, you know, that might defeat that purpose. But they're less likely to be aggressive if they've grown up together and if they've remained together during that time. The other idea you had about contacting a pet store and asking them to, you know, not separate them. Usually, I think most of the time when pet stores get them, they are separated already.
Okay.
When they get them shipped.
So that wouldn't be the best
way. So that wouldn't necessarily work. But sometimes pet stores will get... betas in from a breeder. Like when we were at Fish for You recently, they had some salamander betas that were all siblings. They had all the females together in one of their tanks, and, you know, in that case, that would have been a good opportunity to start a beta sorority just by saying, you know, I'm going to take five of these and put them in a tank.
So you'd really just kind of have to keep your eyes open and
see what you could find. Right, and know if your particular pet store is going to do that often or so on. Things like that. And another thing that he mentions with the small school of reservoirs, well, you could put some really nice small reservoirs. There are quite a few species of small reservoirs that would go nicely in a tank like that. If you had maybe three betas and maybe five really small reservoirs, that could probably work as long as you keep up with your water changes and you have good filtration in the tank. And then he also mentions...
Sparkling gouramis. Tell us what those are.
Sparkling gouramis are beautiful little fish. They have a body type... that is similar to that of a female beta, vaguely. I mean, they're not too distantly related to betas. They are relatives. And they look something like that, but they have... They're very small, and they have... Difficult to describe, but they do have parts of their coloration that kind of sparkle. They have little specks of bright color on them.
Fish.
And they have them fish for you once in a while, and I've looked at those and sort of thought, oh, wow, that would be neat. So that's a great suggestion, too.
Okay, now tell us, we have a few more minutes remaining, tell us what you decided, and or tell us why you didn't decide some things, and then tell us what you did decide and why.
Well, thank you, first of all, to everyone for all of your suggestions. We had quite a few people that that sent in suggestions, and I welcome them all. With as far as the Dwarf Puffer suggestion goes, Dwarf Puffers, I love them. They're great. And they have a lot of personality, like I mentioned before, packed into one tiny little fish. But one problem, I have an olive nerite that I've had forever in that tank, and it's doing really well. And the algae takes care of, you know, algae to the point where, with the plants growing in the tank and the fertilization regimen and the lighting and everything, it's almost perfectly balanced. And I hate to mess with that. And I would have to take that olive nerite out if I put a dwarf puffer in there, because even though the olive nerite is probably bigger than the dwarf puffer would be, the dwarf puffer would eventually try to eat it, damage it, at least pick at its antennae and so on. So it's kind of sad, because dwarf puffers are awesome. And betas, several people suggested betas, and I love those.
And that's what you had in there before.
That's
had a beta.
That's what I had in there before, and I love them to death. The other day we were in a pet store, in fact, and there was this blue placot male. Beautiful fish. Really nice one. Not very expensive either. Looked great. I was thinking about it. The kids were looking at it saying, oh, that's a beautiful fish. But, and that was one of the, you know, top contenders for what we were wanting to get, so I was seriously considering purchasing it. But we couldn't go home. We couldn't bring the fish home for a difficult reason.
We were going to be out of the house. We had to be out of the house for 3 hours. And you could ask, well, why don't you go back later, have them hold it for you, and go back and pick it up. And so we will explain to you, even though it's a little bit tangential, why we couldn't go back and pick up the fish. Because life with pets, as I'm sure you all know, is complicated. We have four rats, pet rats, that we adore. And if you go into a pet store that carries rodents, there is the possibility that you could pick up a virus that if you went straight home, you could give it to your rats and you could either make them very sick or it might even kill them. And the virus lasts in your body for, what, about 3 hours, right?
Yeah, a human can function as a transmitter or vector of this virus, but only for about 3 hours.
And then it dies.
Then the virus dies, yeah.
So if we go into a pet store that has rodents, which this one did, we can't go home for 3 hours.
And so we don't often go to pet stores that carry rodents. We usually go to Fish for You because they don't have any rodents, and we can...
Then we can go home!
And we're fine. But we were out doing other shopping, and we went to this other pet store. So we couldn't get that beta. Otherwise, we might have done that. But we were planning on doing something else anyway. We were planning on getting some African dwarf frogs. Mm-hmm. I actually have a shrine to frogs in my office.
Right above the tank.
So to speak. Yeah, right above that tank, and so it seemed, you know, appropriate anyway.
He loves frogs, and so he has kind of a collection in his office to decorate his office with of frog figurines. And
there's a couple of stuffed animals in there. There's a clicker that's a frog. There are candles that are frogs.
All kinds of frogs.
Things like that up on a shelf.
Right above the tank.
Yep, and so since I've had frogs in there before, and I thought it would be apropos, so that's what we ended up doing.
We got two little African dwarf frogs.
Yes. And this is an interesting thing about African dwarf frogs. And if you've listened to our episode that we did on African frogs, African clawed frogs and African dwarf frogs, you will note that we mentioned that African clawed frogs appeared in the albino variety, whereas African dwarf frogs did not. But that is no longer true.
They now have albino dwarf frogs.
Yes. Our Fish for You, our local fish store, carries albino, at least has begun to carry, I think this is their second time they've had them in stock, carries African dwarf frogs that are albino. Now, they're not just a plain
pasty
pink blank
yuckiness color. I don't generally like albino variations of things. I think they look, at least in reptiles and amphibians, I think they kind of look like something that's been left in the dark for too long. They don't look healthy to me. But the African dwarf frogs look a little bit more blonde than white. So they were cuter than the African clawed frogs that were albinos. The dwarf frogs look cute.
And they retain some of their modeling and their pattern, mm-hmm. their natural pattern in the albino or the blonde coloration. So those were kind of cool. But we decided to get the natural color variety because I tend to prefer that anyway. I mean, I do breed, some of my bristlenoses are albino, but
most of them are not.
Most of them are not. It's The original female I started with was albino, so now we're on the third generation. And so approximately, according to Mendelian genetics, approximately 25% of them come out albino, mm-hmm. and that's okay. That doesn't bother me too much, but generally we prefer non-albinism. So those were the winners. Thank you again to everyone for all of your suggestions. Someday we'll have to set up all of those.
Yes.
According to your suggestions.
I'm interested in the sparkling Grammys. I like Grammys anyways.
Yes, you do.
And so I'm interested in checking those out. So hope you all have a fishy week, and we will talk to you next week.
Yep. Best fishes, everyone.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. For comments and or questions that may be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.